for it first before I hand over to the pastor. Jesus, how lovely you are.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. And there's a few people missing, but the Lord bless those that came out. And I want to greet everyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the young man at work today was telling me about the young man that was shot. And I didn't really know him myself. Maybe once or twice I'd seen him on. But, you know, I was coming along and it came to me, Stephen, in the Bible, was stoned to death because he stood for the truth. And that young man stood for the truth, didn't he? And was shot. But, you know, it's sad, and yet he's absent from the body and he's present with the Lord. Amen. He's gone on to be with the Lord. And that's the thing tonight, and I know his family and it's the brothers prayed, they'll certainly be hitting them hard this evening. Continue to pray for them. And also, Brother Regis, his auntie, went on to be with the Lord, so we want to pray for the whole family circle. And Brother John was telling me tonight, Hard, he's been in hospital with pneumonia. Brother Hard, and Hard's went through it. He's went through it this last while. Let's keep praying for Brother Howard that the Lord will really touch him. And Sister Eiling, both Eilings need her prayer as well. My Auntie Eiling and Eiling Jones pray that the Lord will touch them. And my own sister's doing well. She caught a bit of a cold, but she's doing well. And we just thank the Lord for everything that he has the breath we're breathing, doesn't it? Let's come by our heads again. This evening, if you have a request, just lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, on each and every one of us this evening, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. You hold the very breath we breathe. Lord, we worship and adore you this evening. Your name's above every name. Your name is as ointment poured forth. We thank you, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, when we leave this scene of time, we're going to the pearly gates, the golden streets. Amen. Lord, a wonderful place far above what we can think or comprehend that heaven is tonight. It's far above what we could ever imagine. And you've went to prepare a place for your people. And Lord, you said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Lord, there's sad news today. Some have went on, maybe perhaps sooner than expected. But Lord, for this young man's already been prayed for strength, for comfort, for the whole family circle at this time, especially his children. And Lord, for Adris's aunties went as well to the reward. And for the whole family circle there as well, I pray you'll bless them, comfort them, and strengthen them at this time. And Lord, for the sick and afflicted amongst us, Lord, that maybe couldn't get tonight. And Father, we pray for Eiling Anders and Eiling Jones, for both of them, for your touch upon their bodies. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come against every work of the devil. We know that it's the devil that goes about killing and stealing and robbing. But Lord, you come to bless us, to heal us, to strengthen us, and to save us. And Father, we rebuke the devil now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray that the Holy Ghost will be in this meeting. And Lord, that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And Father, for the hands raised, you know every need, Lord. Father, meet every need, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Touch and bless your people and strengthen them tonight. We pray for Brother Hart, for your touch upon his life, upon his body. Bless June, bless the family, bless the fellowship there, O God. The enemy wants to close down every work if he can. But Lord, I pray there'll be a revival break forth, that we may hear the sound of abundance of rain going in the top of the trees. God, rid us from the spirit of survival and give us the spirit of revival, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Revive thy work in the midst of the years, I pray. Touch your people once again. For those tuned in that will hear the message, oh God, touch them, bless them, heal them, save them and deliver them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Heavenly Father, move in this meeting tonight. Oh God, stir our hearts afresh, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, for we know the devil's a liar, but you're the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. We bless your name now, Lord Jesus, and we take the Holy Ghost now, Lord, by faith, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus tonight, amen. Amen, praise God. Devil's a liar, isn't it? I'll tell you, when you go through the book of Acts, and that's the book for the New Testament people. And hopefully we're New Testament people. Let's turn to Luke tonight, Luke 4, verse 18 to 21. And I want to look at the authority for divine healing. And where did Jesus take the authority? Jesus took the authority of God for the ministry he had. He took it of God. And we know that for the preaching, for the healing, for the deliverance. When he opened the book in the synagogue of Nazareth in Luke 4, verse 18 to 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now you know, when Jesus read that he didn't read from Luke. But I'm going to read it again where he read it from. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 2. He read it from the Word. Now, you know, this Bible's not an ordinary book, because it says that holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost moved holy men of God, and they speak, and it was recorded, and it is the Word of God. And here he's reading from Isaiah, and the book was handed to him. And he read it. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. In other words, here amongst you right now is the fulfillment of the scripture. You don't need to look for it. It's here. Amen? And William Branham said, you don't no longer need to tarry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Ghost has been poured out. You can receive it by faith. Amen. And you know the Bible says he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Hallelujah. Now let me read you this from Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And here was the word himself. Remember that John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. This, he applied the Word of God to his own ministry, right here when it was read. Applied to himself. And we need to recognize the Word of God for us. Remember, William Branham preached a tremendous message, recognizing your day on its message. Amen. Jesus recognized who he was the Word made flesh. He knew who he was. Not only did Jesus know who he was, but the devils knew. Not only did the devils knew who he was, but they feared and trembled at his coming. And they still fear and tremble at the mention of his name. That's why that man was a target. Because he spoke the name of Jesus. And he stood for the truth. And he spoke the truth. And he wasn't there to be popular or to tickle somebody's ears and tell them abortion's quite fine. If you want to do it, you make the choice. He knew it was murder and many other things as well, what were wrong, and they're still wrong. But all the devil's done is revive up something. Because when that happens, God will just send more. Amen. You know, me and Brother Yule was on a job one time, and there was a man that owned the firm or run the firm back then. I won't mention what group he was with, but he was with a certain group, and I knew him well. And we give out tracts, but we did it on our lunch breaks or not on our work time. And he pulled us, and he told us we weren't allowed to give out tracts. We were working for the firm. And all this whole telling off about giving tracts out. And the very next morning, now where me and Brother Yule worked at that time, there was 18 coffins went out of that place in a few weeks. It was a place in Belfast for a lot of people were getting shot. You remember that, Brother Yule? Coffins were coming out of it almost every day. And the next morning we come down and he forbid us. And I said a few things to him, and I wasn't popular with him because of it, but it made no difference. I tell him the truth. There it was, as we came in on the site in the van, was an old man on a stick hobbling along with a bag full of tracts, and he never missed a door. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's when we used to travel in the van, and I used to get in the van, and it was used to be packed. It wasn't a single two or three people. It was packed. And I used to get in every single morning, and this is what I used to say. It's good to be up this morning and washing the blood and on your road to heaven, shouting the victory. We're far too soft with the devil and with his disciples. We're far too timid and far too soft for the disciples of the devil. We need some boldness. And we need to proclaim the name of the Lord. Now, Jesus knew he was, and we need to know who we are. You say, Brother Tom, what are you talking about? The book of Psalms says, we are the redeemed of the Lord. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to start saying so, that we're redeemed of the Lord. We're not our own. The Lord bought us and paid for us. With the precious blood of Jesus, we're bought and paid for. We're the Lord's. We've a Father in heaven. And as a brother John, I think I was praying it or said it the other week, if a child asks you for a fish, you won't give him a stone or a scorpion, but you'll give him what he asks you for. And how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? I'm asking God for an outpouring, for a deluge. I don't want water drops. I want a deluge coming down, a flood, for we need it. We're in desperate need of a flood coming, a real flood of revival, the power of God coming on us. I tell you, this ministry of Jesus has never changed. The Holy Spirit directed it from the very beginning, and the gospel was to be preached in the context of healing and the deliverance ministry. Jesus showed us himself how the gospel of the kingdom was to be preached. The disciples followed and showed us exactly the way he did it. They did it. The apostles did it the way he did it. They did it. We must do it the same way. It must be preached, not just preaching, but healing and deliverance is the real gospel. Hallelujah. And that's how Jesus did it. And I thank God for the gospel. Deliverance from the works of Satan. Then, and if we don't believe that, we're leaving out part of the word of God. We say we don't need that. I remember my father telling me about a man years ago, and I'm going to mention it tonight, and I don't care who's listening. And I went to them, my own self, the brethren. Went to them for years. But they got my dad and they got this other fella. My dad was backslid at the time. And they got them off to meetings and they tortured them to go to meetings. And God spoke to my dad, even though he was backslid. And he said to them, when I give you what I want you to have, none of these men will be coming for you. That's what the Lord told them. And they took a man, and I know the man, and I could take you to his house tonight. And I like this man, and he used to be into hunting and everything. He's a rough character, but I liked him. And they took him to meetings, and he never got saved, but he come close to it, really close to it, but he never got saved. And they said, Billy, what do you think's wrong with him? And my dad says he needs a devil cast out of him. And he'll never come till he gets that devil cast out. But he says, the unfortunate thing is that none of you men can do it. Because you're not preaching it the way the early church preached it. And you don't believe it the way the early church believed it. And you are actually against it. Because you're preaching that the dispensation of miracles and deliverance is over. That God doesn't do that no more. And you're preaching that God's changed his mind. But we're believing that God says he does not change his mind about his word. But he's Hebrews 13 and 8. He's Malachi 3 and 6. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. He's unchanged. And I'll tell you, they couldn't cast the devil out of him. And they didn't cast it out. And he went on the way he was going on. And even to this day, the effects of it's right down in the family going on still. And I tell you, you know the Lord restored my dad. And he wouldn't even preach at the start. He didn't feel worthy. He shared his testimony. But I'll tell you this. They wouldn't have asked him then. And I know men that came to our house to my dad when he wasn't too well. And they brought a big encyclopedia of a book. And they asked him, who do you think Melchizedek was, Billy? And of course he told them who Melchizedek was. Because he'd heard a message of a prophet of God. And that prophet of God said that was one of the mysteries that came out was revealing who Melchizedek really was. He was God manifested to Abraham. And I tell you what, they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it because their wee book didn't tell them it. There's nothing wrong with books. I have a room full of books. But I'll tell you one thing. This here's the prize book right here. This is the book that we have to lay everything on. This is the foundation. We have to go round the foundation. We have to check the foundation. And we need to be careful how we're building. Amen? We cannot build on another. Or it'll be wood, hay, and stubble. And it'll puff at it. And it'll be like the wee piglets. Houses. The straw and the sticks blew down. But when he got to the one on the brick, he couldn't blow it down. The mother, much puffing and work had he done? Sure he couldn't. And I tell you, when we're built on the solid foundation, Hallelujah. Of the apostles. Amen. That's the book of Acts. That's the follower of the ministry of Jesus. Not another ministry. It's the same ministry. Do we believe this is the day of salvation? Absolutely. This is the day of salvation. If we do, then we must accept its full meaning. Its full interpretation. It means deliverance with it. It's deliverance. You know, when you get saved, you get deliverance. God delivers you. Sets you free. I'm telling you, you've heard of stories of drunkards and meetings, and they get sobered instantaneously. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, people would have us to think deliverance and stuff to the devil. That's like the two drunks that came to Jack Cole's meetings, Brother George. They came in the Jack Cole's tent and they were full. Blocked, as they would say, over here in Northern Ireland. They were stone blocked. And they're dotted about the front of it. And the one oil drunk said to the other one, "Hey boy, we need to get out of here. This thing's at the devil." And he says, "If it is, how come we haven't got it?" And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people are blaming the devil for something that he never has anything to do with. I want you to know that the devil starts no revivals. I want you to know that he starts no healing schools or deliverance campaigns. But the devil that the Bible talks about goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to condemn you. He's an accuser of the brethren according to Revelations. But you can overcome him tonight. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Hallelujah. We're living in the day of grace. The full definition from Scripture, the day of grace, or the year of acceptance of the Lord, is defined in Luke 18. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Jesus has never changed. Don't ever let somebody tell you, yes, Jesus healed people 2,000 years ago, but he won't heal nobody today. That's a lie. If he ever did it once, he can do it again. I'm going to say it again. If he ever did it once, he can do it again. Because he's never changed. I tell you, God can heal from anything. Amen? I know the devil gave you all, I know all about it. You'll feel maybe worse. But that's just all the symptoms. You know, when William Branham prayed for a woman, she had the guard of her cancer. And he said, "Now you'll feel sick in a day or two, but that's just that demon of cancer dying out and going. Don't you let your faith go down. When you feel sick, the devil will tell you you've lost your healing. That's a sure sign you've got it." That's like when you get saved. And I'll tell you, not even give you the next morning, sure not. The same night, he'll be saying, "How do you know you're saved? Are you sure you're saved? Well, you're not saved because you felt it, but you're saved because the word of God says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word. That's our foundation tonight. The word of God. We're clearly given a terrible warning in the book of Revelations that we're not to add to the word of God or take away from the word of God. Revelations 22:19, "For if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book." That's something, isn't it? When people change the word of God, there's a warning. We're not to do it. God's word is precious. Amen? I could write down things and say things and some of them could fail because I'm only a man. But he's more than a man. I like what Spurgeon said. He's a God man. Amen. He's God in flesh. Praise God. He can't fail. And I'll tell you, not fail you either. No matter what the devil tells you, God will not fail you. Amen. Praise God. In ignorance today, many have been brought up to believe and even to preach the gospel, you know, and a way that they think God can't do this, God can't do that, God can't do something else. But God can do anything, can't he? But we need to return to the word of God and set aside traditions of man, don't we? We need to set them aside. Look, I was a real staunch brethren, or I thought I was. And I tell you then, John here took me along to the Pentecostals. And the brethren weren't allowed no music. I don't know why, because the Bible's full of it. And it talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then I heard the music and the singing. And then the gifts of God moving. And they said it wasn't for the day. But when the Holy Ghost comes down in a meeting and starts to talk to you, whether it's through tongues or prophecy, and starts to tell you things that you prayed in the room and nobody can do it, only God, you know there's something happening, don't you? And the Bible says that one will reveal a secret to the heart, will they not fall down and say, God's in you for truth? That's the Bible. That's the real gifts of God. And I know a lot of people, oh, I heard this and I heard that, and it's all negative. Well, I heard this and I heard that, but it's positive. Amen. You've got a false £20 note, you wouldn't throw all of them out. You throw the false one out, but you'd keep the rest that's real, wouldn't you? Amen. But you wouldn't say to yourself, here, tell you what, don't be paying me any more £20 notes. You got a false one last week. You're going to get false ones, but thank God the real outweigh the false. Amen. The impact of the Word of God upon man's heart. You know, it's a lot weaker really than it should be. Listen to me tonight. If it is not accompanied by healing the sick and signs and deliverance, it weakens it. But when it comes accompanied by the vindication power of God, that's what we're talking about. There's something about it, isn't there? Amen? And I've said it before, and I make no apologies. William Branham, at the end of his sermon, said, Lord, if I preach the truth, you come forth and confirm it. And God done it. God done it. And there's a lot of people call them false, but none of them can pray a prayer like that and see it answered. But he could. Now I tell you one thing, the devil didn't come forward and confirm it. Amen? And there's too much of it that's happened. That's true. Isn't that right? And even your own selves, you might, maybe not recently, but over the years, over your lifetime, you've seen God doing things for you. If you were to go back and count it, where the Lord done things for you, and you start to count your blessings, the Lord's done a lot. And the most important thing, he's delivered you. Set you free. The early church knew this. They prayed that the apostles might speak the word of God with boldness in Acts 4, 29 and 30. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Think of this young man today. This is a time that the church universal needs to do what they've done in the book of Acts. You hear me tonight? Here's the scripture for it. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, but stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now they were to pray, if they prayed that prayer when they were under opposition, we should be fit to pray that prayer and believe it. And if they were in the will of God to pray that prayer then, we should know we're in the will of God to pray a prayer like that now. We should never be afraid to pray a prayer that God will stretch his arm forth with signs and wonders and miracles. We should never be afraid to pray that kind of a prayer, but we should pray it and believe it and expect it to happen. Jesus gave us authority to his disciples and to all believers in Matthew 28, 19, 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord's promised he'll be with us, and we're to go forward. Jesus already had given direct instructions on evangelism. Listen to me. He already gave direct instructions on evangelism when he sent out the 12 and later the 70 disciples. Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Think of Smith Wigglesworth tonight. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. He stuttered, he couldn't even talk right. And he still, some of his words, when he talked about being healed, he didn't say healed, he said healed. He never pronounced the H. But I'll tell you, he got a hold of God. And he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the real baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people talk about the baptism, but they've never got the real baptism. Wigglesworth got the real baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, he said to his wife, she was doing the preaching. He said to her, I'm going to preach tonight. And she laughed at him. And she was right. Because he couldn't talk and he couldn't do it. You know, he was afraid to do it. He had no boldness. And he got up and preached. And she said, that's not my Wigglesworth. What have they done with? That's not him. It was somebody different. It's not the Bible said when we studied through about David and Saul and Samuel and them things. Didn't we see in them scriptures where they were turned into different men when the Spirit of God come on them? And Wigglesworth was turned into a different man when the Spirit of God come on him. Now you say, I was Wigglesworth, but Jesus is the same. And you're going to be getting a verse here in a minute, so you won't have any excuse, any of us. It's for all believers. Amen. These signs will follow them that believe. Hallelujah. So God can do it. And I'll tell you, God can answer prayer. Look at when he called the disciples in Matthew 10, 78. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Cast out devils, freely receive, freely give. Amen. I'll tell you, it's wonderful to see a demon coming out in Tara. Wonderful. And I tell you, God can do it. And I've seen the Lord do it by God's grace. And we're not rejoicing over devils being subject. But I want to tell you it's real. Hallelujah. On two different occasions, I've seen pastors' wives full of devils. Two pastors' wives. And in one church, the demon called out of a pastor's wife till someone else in the meeting. And the power of God came down, and that devil came up that floor on his back, knocking chairs down and everything down. But the anointing of God breaks every yoke. I tell you, the power of God's real. Don't you worry about the power of the devil. God made him. God made him. And he will have to submit and bow to the name of Jesus Christ. And if you're living your life right, and you're under the blood of Jesus and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, you've got a right to that name. You can use the name. You can apply the name. And the demons fear that name. You can read in Luke 10, verse 1, and then verse 9. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. So he appointed 12. Here's another 70. And he sent them two and two before the face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Verse 9. Heal the sick that are in therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread in serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall in any means hurt you, notwithstanding. And this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's the most important thing, isn't it? Verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. So babies were able to understand these things. Now they being babies had no college education. Are you hearing me? They've never been to one single Bible college. They've never had a dog collar put around their neck or a black nightshirt put on them or any garments of Rome. But they had the power of God on them. They had a visitation from God. And even though they could have been babes, if God was with them, that was all they needed. Hallelujah. And I tell you, the power of God's real. Isn't it? Praise God. Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. He rejoiced in spirit. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Because babes believe, they obey in simple childlike faith. And God wants every single one of us, no matter what age we are tonight, to have childlike faith. I know it's hard to do it, even for my own self. You're thinking what you can do to get closer to God. But all the time, God wants you to get closer to you. And what you really think or know, that's the truth. It's like Adam and Eve. The Lord comes seeking them. They didn't come seeking the Lord. And the fact that any of us has a desire to get closer to God, God put it in us, not the truth. God gave us that desire. As the deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul thirsteth after thee, O God. On the evening of his resurrection day, Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples in John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so," I love this verse. It does something to me. "As my Father sent me, so send I you." But I tell you, he never sent them. Now, he didn't send them with a whole lot. Now, look, I'm as guilty as anybody. I have a full library, books that could give you everybody in this room and the half of Barn Bridge books. But the Lord didn't give them books. He gave them the Holy Ghost. And he actually told them, "Don't even take a script with you or a second coat with you, for I'll give you what you need." Isn't that the truth? Sometimes we're leaning on the wrong thing. We need to lean on the Lord. Amen? I tell you, God can do it. When they later received the Holy Ghost, these same people, when they later received the Holy Ghost, 120 people that described in Acts 2 began to know what this meant. They began to know what this really meant, this power of God, when they received the Holy Ghost, 120 of them that were in the upper room. Hallelujah. And when we read and study the book of Acts, we see the ministry effectively exercised in the power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot read the book of Acts without seeing the power of God displayed. You cannot read about any of those in the upper room what you read about, but that the power of God was on them. And it affected other people when they come in contact with them. Amen. Peter in Acts 3 healed the lame man from birth. In the name of Jesus Christ, he preached to the crowd and came to see about 5,000 believe. Mass evangelism. Some people say God's not into mass evangelism today. That's a lie of the devil. I want you to know that God can still do mass evangelism. And not only could God save the 5,000, God could save even more. And we've seen it. Now, I mean, look at the men God sent out and used over the years. Multitudes, and they've come to the Lord and got saved. You remember, there's a number no man can number in heaven. No man can even number it. So many. Hallelujah. Now, I know somebody said, if they're all saved, how will heaven hold them? I can't explain all that or know all about it, but God can do it. But I'll tell you one thing. Don't you worry about heaven holding them. We need to get as many as we can get. Amen. That's a lame duck excuse, isn't it? Amen. Here's a hall here tonight could hold a lot more than it's in it. But it's getting them in's a thing. But God can still save. I tell you, mass evangelism is perfectly scriptural. Jesus had done the same thing many times when he was on earth. He got into Peter's boat and he preached to the multitudes, didn't he? And you know, when that crowd followed him and they were starving and they were faint, he fed them a boy's lunch. Amen? On two different occasions. 7,000 in one place and 12 in another. 7,000 that equals the Gentiles. 12,000 that equals the Jews. Every single thing in this book has a meaning, has a purpose. Even the very numbers. God's word just keeps unfolding, bursting open with revelation and stimulation. Amen? It's wonderful. Now I'm going to have to close. The time's going. I'm going to have to close. Now, you may be not as excited as me, but that's all right. But I'm excited up here, believe it or not. Do you like to enjoy the word of God? Acts 4, 29. "And now the Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus." Verse 31 of Acts 4. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken." I tell you what, we need a shaking. Amen. May God shake us. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. And I'll be honest with you tonight. Who's ever read about Evan Roberts? Read a lot about him. I read about Evan Roberts. I went to where Evan Roberts, there's a place up in Wales. And he went to it and went to the church and everything, for he preached and he seen the power of God. And God would shake him. And I started praying. I thought I was smart. And I said, "Lord, shake me," the way he shook Evan Roberts. That lasted for a short time, I can assure you of that. And I quit praying like that because I'm not Evan Roberts. And things started happening. Now, none of us is Evan Roberts, but Jesus is still the same. But Evan Roberts was desperate. And he prayed desperate prayers. Now, I'm going to tell you, Evan Roberts went in his room and his bed made funny noises because it was banging on the floor and he was praying. And Evan Roberts was called out and he saw revival coming in wheels. God spiritually showed him it. Every single thing coming in wheels, God showed Evan Roberts. And the move that Evan Roberts seen was a short move. And then it just stopped. And Evan Roberts never seen much in that way the rest of his whole life. But God used him for that time. Amen? And you see, we think, well, God used us and God used us. We don't know that. We don't know that, what God's purpose and plan is. But we need to yield ourselves now and then give it to God. Amen. So many more, Acts 5 and Acts 6 and Acts 8. All these scriptures in the book of Acts. And these men were anointed. You think of it tonight. Brothers, let's be honest about it. We're falling well short of apostolic in regards to the power of God. Let's be honest about it. Peter walks past them and Peter's shadow falls on them in their head. He never even prayed. William Branham drives down through Durban, South Africa, and people throw crutches down and start walking. I wouldn't believe that. Not make any difference whether you believe it or not, it happened. I believe it happened. See, the devil wants you to doubt. That's how he works. That's the exact same way he worked with Eve. He got Eve to doubt what God said. When I don't doubt for 1 minute, Peter walked past and a shadow came on them. And I believe in William Branham. And I tell you, a man that was dying with cancer, that couldn't live, was prayed for. And he was absolutely healed. And the church he was in said, you better deny William Branham, or we're throwing you out of our ranks. They called him to a big meeting. And he said, go ahead and throw him out. I'll never deny it. His son rang me from America. When I was sitting in the house one Sunday, couldn't believe it, I didn't know the man. And then later on I looked up and saw his whole testimony, and his son's a really old man. And he's living now, he's near 90. And he was, that's just before the lockdown, he rang me. And he told me the whole testimony about it. And they wanted him to deny it. You just imagine Peter come down past you. And then them boys call you in. Look at the man in the Bible. And they said, how were your eyes opened, boy? What sort of a trick was done? Amen? It's not what happened. But he says, a man that's called Jesus. Hallelujah. He's our source tonight. We can't go and get Brother Branham, or Brother Peter, or Paul. But I'll tell you, Jesus is closer than the breath we breathe. He's available. Let's come and really pray tonight. I hope you're encouraged from 7 tonight. You believe God for your own situation. I'm believing God for my own situation. I need God to heal me. I need God to do an operation in me. I need God to do it. But I'll tell you one thing, he can do it. He can do it. Let's bow our heads tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you tonight. Lord, that you're the same, that you've never changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your ministry is the same. Your prayer is the same. Your presence is the same. Lord, I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to come in these meetings in a greater way. Lord, we know you're here. We know you're with us. We can sense your presence right now. But Lord, I'm praying for the deluge, for the night pouring, for the Pentecostal movement amongst us. Oh God, for a pouring out of the Holy Ghost upon your people. Revive us in the midst of the years. Lord, we're thirsty for more. We're hungry for more. Lord, we need you to move us. We need you to come upon us. We need you to shake this place. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. And to stretch your arm forth. Lord, if ever there was a time when we need you to stretch your arm forth, it's now. Lord, you see the people that are sick and suffering. Lord, we need you to stretch your arm forth like you did in the book of Acts, with signs, with wonders, with miracles, in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Father, forgive us for unbelief tonight. Forgive us when we've looked other ways. When you're the source, Lord, you're the one. Help us to look unto thee. Oh, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am the Lord. Father, we worship you tonight. We praise you tonight. Lord, you said, look unto me and live. Lord, if they could look at a brass serpent on a pole, and they could be healed. Surely, Lord, we can look unto you tonight, the risen, conquering Savior, and you can still heal us, for by your stripes we're healed. You were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes, your wounds, we are healed. Father, we love you tonight because you first loved us. Forgive us, Lord, for our failings or shortcomings. Wash us afresh in the blood of Jesus Christ. Revive every single soul in this very room tonight. I rebuke every demon, devil, power in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, even over the airwaves when they hear this message. God, may the devils go, and may people be freed, loosed, liberated in the name of Jesus Christ, for you are remaining the same. Help us, Lord, as your people, to do what you want us to do. And Lord, you, what must I do? The works of God. Believe in him whom he has sent. And Lord, you sent Jesus. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son. We believe it tonight. Father, help us, I pray. Pray for the youth in this house tonight. You'll bless them, strengthen them on the instruments. Lord, we thank you for all these gifts. Bless every one of them. Oh God, cover them with your blood. Keep them safe from all the wiles of the enemy. Lord, for all the children represented in this fellowship that's still not saved, we claim them. We plead your blood upon them. We ask that the Holy Ghost go upon them for the husband, for the wife, for the aunt, the nephew, the niece, for every single one of them we claim tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, what the enemy's meant for bad with this man, Charlie Kirk, Lord God, Father, I pray that you will send forth an abundance. For when the enemy comes in like a flood, you've promised that the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. Lord, I pray you'll raise up many, many men and women that will stand bold and shake the enemy. Grant it, Lord, and grant us, Lord, your people, to walk in what you want us to walk, and bless Israel tonight. Deliver them from all their enemies. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. And Lord, in this country we pray for all in authority. Father, that you'll just give them wisdom, guidance, and for all that preach the truth over this land. Bless them, we pray. And have your way amongst us. In the precious name of Jesus we ask it. Amen. Amen. Let's continue to seek the Lord tonight.